Welcome to this subscriber-only audio guide from Magic Towns Italy. Each guide is built using hundreds of original data points and real feedback from people who've made the move. Thanks for supporting our work, and enjoy the journey.
Welcome back, listeners, to a Magic Towns Italy subscriber-only guide. Today, we're setting our sights on a really unique spot on the island of Sardinia, a town often called Italy's Little Barcelona. We're talking about Alghero, of course. It's a place that definitely pops up on the radar for many expats and retirees considering a move to Italy.
And our mission today really is to cut through some of the, you know, the glossy brochure stuff and give you a clear, practical look at what life there is actually like. We've pulled insights directly from the source material for this deep dive, mainly Magic Towns Italy, but also looking at notes from an assessment of coastal town and discovering Alghero, Italy's Little Barcelona.
Exactly. Think of this as your shortcut to understanding Alghero. We're going to unpack these sources, pull out the key insights, the maybe surprising facts, and definitely the practical details you need to know. So Alghero, perched beautifully there on Sardinia's northwest coast. It promises that classic Mediterranean dream, but with this fascinating twist, that strong Catalan identity that gives it its nickname.
That's the hook, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. Let's dive in and see what makes this place tick.
So to really get Alghero, you have to start with its history, and it's maybe not what you'd expect. It wasn't founded by, say, Romans or even Italians originally. It was the Genoese Doria family way back in 1102.
Genoese roots first. Interesting. But the twist, the whole Little Barcelona thing, that comes much later, right?
Precisely. The real turning point was 1354. That's when Peter V of Aragon brought Alghero firmly under Catalan influence. And what's just remarkable is how much that influence has stuck around. It's not just dusty history. It's, you know, still a living part of the town today.
How does that actually show up? I mean, does it just feel different when you're there? It
absolutely does. You see these echoes of medieval Spain in the architecture. Like, look at the Gothic arches of the San Francisco church, or the big, sturdy Aragonese walls. They're a direct visual link back to that period.
Yeah, you can almost picture it stepping back in time in parts of the old town.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's not just visual. The Algarides Catalan dialect is still spoken. Quite a few residents use it. And you'll notice street names are often in both Italian and Catalan.
Oh, wow. So you might actually hear Catalan greetings.
You might, yeah. It really creates this fascinating cultural blend, something quite distinct from other Italian towns.
That must give it a unique flavor.
And this blend, it's woven right into their traditions and festivals. You know, the usual annual festivals, open-air concerts, lots of food, that kind of thing. And even a candlelit regatta during the Algarese Challenge Cup.
And some really unique rituals too, it seems. Holy Week sounds incredibly atmospheric. The old town lit in red, solemn processions. But the one that really jumped out at me was Easter Day. Locals firing bullets into the sky to symbolize happiness. That's memorable.
It certainly is. It speaks to a really deep-seated sense of community and tradition there. The sources also paint a picture of the daily pace of life, kind of unhurried, blending the past and present seamlessly.
So definitely not a rushed big city kind of vibe.
Oh, far from it. The rhythm seems built around community, family, enjoying life's simple pleasures. The traditional siesta, you know, the afternoon break, it's still widely observed. Lots of businesses close for a few hours in the early afternoon and then reopen later. It's a slower, much more relaxed approach that really defines the lifestyle.
And part of that local feel, I imagine, comes from their crafts, too.
It does, yeah. Red coral. It's harvested sustainably from the nearby waters, the Riviera del Coraglio. And local artisans transform it into this beautiful jewelry you see everywhere in the shops. It's another really distinctive thread in the town's identity.
Okay, so we've got this rich history, this unique cultural blend, the crafts. Now, it is a coastal town. The landscape must be a huge part of its appeal.
Oh, absolutely huge. Alghero sits right there on Sardinia's stunning northeast coast. And the coastline itself is, well, it's a major draw.
I'm picturing, you know, scenic beauty, dramatic cliffs.
That's exactly it. Pristine coves and lovely beaches like Lazaretto, perfect for swimming and just relaxing. And then places like Spiaggia Magone, which are maybe better for more active beach days, water sports, that sort of thing.
And the natural wonders aren't just the beaches, right? There's famous cliffs, Capo Caccia.
Indeed, huge limestone cliffs. And tucked away inside them is Neptune's Grotto or Neptune's Cave. You can get there in two pretty dramatic ways. You can descend this incredible staircase, the Escala del Cabirol, 656 steps carved right into the cliff face.
Wow, that sounds intense.
Or, you know, you can take a more relaxed boat trip directly from the harbor in Alghero. Both ways offer these unforgettable views and experiences of the landscape.
Sounds like nature is really woven into the town's fabric. And it's not just the coast. The area is surrounded by a national park.
That's right. The Parco di Porto Conte pretty much envelops the town and the surrounding cape. It offers this extensive network of pathways both along the coast and further inland.
Which means plenty of opportunities for getting outdoors, I guess. Hiking?
Definitely. You've got moderate options, like the paths from Porto Conte Marina out to Punta del Giglio or the Monte Timidone Trail. For the really serious hikers, there's even a more challenging multi-day trek from Capo Porto Conte all the way to Capo Caccia.
So you can hike along dramatic cliffs, explore inland, spend days on the beach. It really sounds like it supports that active outdoor lifestyle.
Certainly does. And the climate, which we'll get to later, plays a massive part in that. But first, maybe let's talk about the people, the community itself.
Okay, good idea. The official population figure is just over 42,000, a bit higher if you count the immediate surroundings. What's the actual feel of the place?
Well, a close-knit community, but because of its size and the tourism, it also has a bit of a cosmopolitan buzz, especially in the summer months.
The local spirit is described as friendly and welcoming, and that distinct Italian-Catalan cultural blend we talked about, it's really evident in the community's daily life, the interactions, the dialect.
It sounds like a place where people feel connected to each other.
It seems so. The lifestyle really emphasizes community, family, those simple pleasures. And importantly, for anyone thinking of moving, strong community integration opportunities do exist for newcomers, including retirees. It seems like a place where, you know, if you make the effort, you can genuinely become part of the town's fabric.
That's really encouraging. Okay, so moving from the charm and the culture to the nitty-gritty practicalities, how does the infrastructure stack up?
Right. The overall infrastructure and connectivity score is 67. Now, what that score suggests is the infrastructure is, you know, generally decent. It supports daily life. Transportation needs are met, but it's not necessarily cutting edge or as robust as you'd find in, say, a major mainland city center.
Let's start with getting there, in a way. Airports are crucial for an island location.
And you actually have pretty good access via air. The closest is Alghero Fertilia Airport, literally just a 4-minute drive away. It's got a connectivity score of 6, serves over 1.5 million passengers. And it's a hub for budget airlines like Ryanair and Volotea, plus ITA. It connects to about 31 destinations in 12 countries. Very busy in summer.
Super close. What about other options?
A bit further, about a 94-minute drive, is Olbia Costa Smeralda. Same connectivity score, 6, but it handles more passengers, over 3 million in 2022. It has a wider range of mostly European destinations, airlines like British Airways and EasyJet, also a very convenient hub, especially in high season.
And the main island airport?
That's Cagliari Elmas, down south. It's about a 148-minute drive, so maybe 2.5 hours. It has a slightly higher connectivity score of 7. It's the largest on the island, handling nearly 4.4 million passengers in 2022. Ryanair and Volotea use it as a focus city. Lots of routes across Europe, again, very busy in summer, and they mentioned some environmental initiatives there too.
So flying in and out seems reasonably well covered, multiple options depending on where you're going.
Yeah, definitely options there.
Okay, what about getting around once you're in Alghero or exploring Sardinia?
There are rail stations nearby. They connect you to other parts of the island like Sassari or further afield, Cagliari, regional trains only, maybe 1 or 2 an hour. No high-speed lines here. There's another option in Porto Torres too, about 30 minutes drive.
Okay, so rail connects you regionally, but it often means getting to the station first. What about getting around within Alghero itself? Buses? local public transport?
Now, this is noted specifically as a weakness. Public transport within the town in the immediate area, it may not always be that reliable or frequent.
Right.
Because of this, having a car can be quite helpful, maybe even necessary for daily life, especially if you want to explore beyond the absolute center or live a bit further out.
Although the town center itself is very walkable, it was described as a walker's paradise.
Absolutely. For anything within the old town, the main central areas, walking is definitely the easiest and frankly the most pleasant way to get around.
Okay, let's look at amenities then. The sources give counts within a 10-kilometer radius. What stands out?
Well, the numbers show you'll find plenty of essentials. For instance, over 100 supermarkets listed and nearly 150 restaurants. So you won't struggle to get groceries or find somewhere to eat, that's for sure.
Wow, 100 supermarkets seems like a lot for a town that size.
It does, doesn't it? But the sources also flag a potential weakness here. While the number of essentials is high, the variety or maybe the scale of amenities might feel a bit restrictive for some expats, especially if you're coming from a larger city with, you know, huge hypermarkets or very specialized shops.
And the seasonal tourism impacts things too.
Yes, definitely. There are limited cultural events or big activities outside the main summer tourist season. That's listed as another weakness. And maybe, obviously, that influx of tourists during the peak summer months can lead to overcrowding in places, which is also mentioned as a challenge to be aware of.
So great for your daily needs, but perhaps less variety or year-round buzz than some might hope for. What about digital connectivity, internet, crucial for remote workers?
This is another area flagged as a weakness. Internet speed may well be slower than in the larger Italian cities. The average download speed is given as around 127 megabits per second.
Which is usable.
It's usable for many things, certainly browsing, streaming, basic work. But if you need consistently lightning fast, super reliable internet for, say, heavy-duty remote work, video conferencing all day, large file transfers, it might not be ideal. The fast download speed is listed at 174 megabits per second, but the slow end is down at 64 megabits per second. So there's variability.
Good to know. Beyond supermarkets, what's the general shopping scene like?
It seems pretty diverse. Drawing on the local culture, you've got your local markets, great for fresh produce, amazing seafood meats, artisan crafts. Then there are high-end boutiques showcasing Sardinian craftsmanship, particularly that red coral jewelry we mentioned, leather goods, fashion. You'll find flea markets too for antiques and vintage stuff. And yes, there are larger shopping centers for more standard retail needs as well.
And the food. We touched on restaurants, but Alghero has its own distinct culinary identity, doesn't it? Blending Sardinian and Catalan.
It really does. It's vibrant and, yes, heavily seafood-based, as you'd expect. Dishes like spaghetti with lobster or aragosta al catalana, the Algerese fish soup, monkfish, sea bream, mullet, octopus. They feature prominently, prepared in lots of different ways. Sounds absolutely delicious for seafood lovers. What about options for those who prefer meat?
Oh, absolutely. Roast suckling pig borsedu is a huge Sardinian staple. You'll definitely find that. And pasta dishes like ravioli with lamb ragu. For dessert, you should look out for local specialties like Menhar Blanc, which is a Catalan almond milk pudding, or ciadas, those famous Sardinian cheese-filled pastries drizzled with honey.
Ciadas.
Yeah, really diverse dining landscape overall, from simple family-run trattorias serving traditional fare to more upscale international places. They even mention a Michelin-starred restaurant, Il Pavone, known for its fine dining and, unsurprisingly, its focus on seafood.
Okay, moving on to education. Maybe for families thinking about a move, what's the situation?
Right. International schools are not available in Alghero. That's a key point for many international families.
Okay, no international schools. What about the local Italian schools?
Looking at the rankings provided, it's a bit mixed. The average ranking of schools across all criteria falls into the bottom 50% nationally. However, if you look specifically at standardized test results, the average ranking is actually in the top 50%.
Huh, that's an interesting split. What might that suggest?
Well, while students perform reasonably well on standardized tests, maybe there are other factors pulling the overall ranking down, things like school resources, the variety of programs offered, facilities, teacher-student ratios, maybe other qualitative aspects measured in the broader assessment.
So something families would need to look into much more closely on the ground.
Exactly. But the lack of international options is the big takeaway for many expats initially.
Got it. What about safety? General risks?
Alghero is in a seismic zone, but it's rated as moderate to low earthquake risk. Environmental risks seem low too. Minimal percentages of the population are at risk from landslides or floods. Road accident rates are pretty close to the national average. So generally, a town with relatively low environmental and safety risks compared to some other parts of Italy, our insurance price index is almost exactly the national average too.
Okay, good to hear. Now let's tackle a really major factor for anyone relocating, but especially for retirees, healthcare.
Yes, and this is an area where the sources highlight some significant challenges. It should definitely be a key consideration for anyone thinking seriously about Alghero. The overall healthcare score provided is low. While the sources say healthcare is accessible for residents and expats, you can physically get care, the quality of service is generally noted as being below optimal. It's explicitly stated as needing significant improvement, and this is flagged as a major weakness.
Wow, that's a crucial point. What specifically do the sources say about these quality issues? Where are the problems?
They indicate the local health authority ranks low nationally. This seems particularly true regarding the care provided by the local hospital, Maria Regina Margherita, which is actually very close, just a 5-minute drive.
Okay, so proximity isn't the issue, it's the measured quality.
Exactly. The sources highlight a notable lack of efficiency, for example, in handling critical conditions like severe heart attacks, STEMI, that require immediate intervention such as PTCA within the recommended timeframe. They do say readmissions for heart attacks fare moderately better, but there are also areas needing improvement in treating things like bone fractures efficiently and minimizing hospital stays for certain conditions.
Any other specifics mentioned?
Yes. For breast cancer surgeries, it seems conventional methods are generally preferred over minimally invasive techniques, which might be different from trends in other places. They do note moderate success in managing heart failure readmissions, which is a positive point amidst the concerns.
Yeah, so it really sounds like while you can get routine care, accessing high quality, efficient hospital care for more serious or critical conditions is a significant concern based on these sources, and only one hospital within 10 kilometers.
Yes, physical accessibility is there, the hospital is close, but the national quality metrics for the local services point to clear weaknesses that potential residents, especially retirees, really need to weigh up.
Absolutely. Okay, let's shift to housing and the cost of living. Is it easy to find a place?
Housing availability is listed as medium, so not a massive oversupply perhaps, but a decent selection of properties generally available for sale or rent. You should be able to find something.
And for buying property, what sort of prices are we looking at?
The middle price point is around 3,267 euros per square meter. Lower end properties might start around 2,341 euros per square meter, while higher end, larger, or luxury properties can easily go above 3,935 euros per square meter. Sometimes well above.
Okay, so quite a range. Do they give an example?
They suggest a standard apartment might cost somewhere around 298,000 euros as a ballpark figure, but emphasize that larger or luxury places can easily top 1 million euros.
Right. And what about renting? What can someone expect to pay per month?
As of April 2025, the sources suggest quite a wide range, anywhere from approximately 400 up to 1,000 euros per month. It really depends heavily on the specific location within Alghero, the condition, the amenities.
Okay, and daily living costs, food, utilities, that sort of
stuff. Some estimates, a meal at an inexpensive restaurant, maybe around 19 euros. Basic utilities, heating, water, rubbish, For a medium-sized apartment, around 85 square meters or 915 square feet are estimated at about 150 euros per month. For groceries alone, they estimate a minimum monthly food cost per person somewhere between 244 and 221 euros.
And importantly, the cost of living might be higher than some expats expect.
Yes, that's flagged as a potential reality check. While some costs, maybe the lower end of those rental prices, might seem manageable, the overall cost of living, perhaps influenced by being on an island, logistics, and the tourism impact, can add up. It might be higher than anticipated compared to some other Italian towns or regions, especially outside the major tourist hubs.
Good point. Okay, let's look at the broader economy and maybe some of the less tangible realities of expat life.
The economy quality score is given as 72, which sounds okay, but the sources immediately highlight some pretty significant challenges regarding employment.
Yeah, it lists the estimated unemployment rate as higher compared to the national average and job opportunities as limited. Both are explicitly called out as weaknesses.
And the income per capita as of 2023 was 20,802 euros, which ranked Alghero 669th out of over 7,900 municipalities in Italy. So well below the Italian median income.
So the message is pretty clear. Don't move to Alghero expecting to easily find local work.
That seems to be the strong implication, yes. The economy leans more on other sectors like tourism, which we've already seen has its seasonal peaks and troughs, and potential overcrowding issues. The tourism index itself is rated as moderate.
Beyond finding work, what other sort of day-to-day challenges might expats face?
Well, bureaucracy. Navigating Italian red tape can be difficult anywhere, but it's mentioned specifically here. Things like setting up a business, dealing with residency permits, official paperwork, it can be complex and require patience.
That's a common refrain about Italy, isn't it?
It is. What about social integration? Making connections?
The sources describe this as, well, varied. They mention supportive expat communities exist, and locals are generally warm and welcoming, as we said earlier. However, they also realistically note that newcomers might sometimes encounter moments of perhaps discourtesy or just cultural distance. Integrating fully takes time, patience, and perseverance. It might not always be smooth sailing, and language, I imagine, is absolutely key.
Oh, hugely significant. The language barrier is flagged as a potential major challenge for non-Italian speakers, another weakness listed. Knowing Italian is pretty much essential, both for social integration, making real connections, and definitely for navigating that bureaucracy we just talked about.
So you might get by with English in the tourist hotspots, but for actual living?
For daily life, dealing with officials, even just deeper social connections, Italian is crucial. Making the effort to learn the language is presented as vital for a smoother experience.
Managing expectations is important.
Absolutely. The sources really stress that patience and realistic expectations are essential for adjusting to life in Alghero. It has its own rhythm, its own way of doing things, and embracing that rather than fighting it is part of the journey.
Okay, let's shift gears completely now to the climate and environment. This is often a huge draw for places like Alghero. What are the sources?
The climate is described as pretty much ideal for the outdoors, supporting an active lifestyle all year round. You can expect basically mild winters, warm summers, tons of sunshine, moderate seasonal rain, and snow is extremely rare.
Sounds pretty perfect. What about actual temperatures?
Looking at the averages from 2010 to 2022, average minimum temperatures range from about 8.6 degrees Celsius in January, maybe 8.3 degrees in February, up to around 22 degrees in July and August.
Okay, so cool but not freezing in winter, pleasantly warm in summer, and maximums?
Average maximums range from about 13 degrees Celsius in winter up to nearly 30 degrees, maybe 29.4 degrees in August. Yeah, so really comfortable, pleasant temperatures for most of the year, not usually extreme heat or biting cold.
And the sunshine, you said abundant?
Exceptional, actually. The sources rank Algero in the top 10% nationally for sunshine hours. You get a high percentage of sunny days even in winter, like 40 to 50% in November and January, and then it peaks incredibly high in summer, over 80% sunny days in July and August.
Wow, and very little rain or snow, you mentioned.
That's right. Precipitation is ranked as very low. In the bottom 10% nationally, there's moderate rainfall, but it's mostly confined to certain seasons, not constant drizzle, and snowfall is also very low, bottom 10%. You'd be very unlikely to see more than a brief dusting that melts immediately if you see snow at all.
So the climate is definitely a major plus point, a real strength. What about air quality?
Also very good. The air quality rating is given as 80, described as conducive to relaxed and healthy living. Looking at specific pollutants, PM10 is generally rated good, PM2.5 fair, NO2 good, O3 fair. Minimal levels of things like nitrogen dioxide and sulfur dioxide.
Meaning, practically speaking.
Practically speaking, the air is typically quite clean and fresh. Another definite positive for health and general well-being.
And just to quickly reiterate the environmental risks we touched on earlier.
Low landslide risk, low flood risk, as we mentioned. A generally safe environment in terms of these particular natural hazards.
Okay, we've really peeled back a lot of layers here. We've gone from the unique Catalan history and the stunning landscape through all the practicalities like infrastructure, the concerning healthcare quality, notes, costs, the economy, and the lovely climate. Based on all of that, synthesizing the strengths and weaknesses we've pulled from the sources, who is the kind of expat or retiree most likely to really thrive in Algero?
Right. Putting it all together, it's someone who places a very high value on that beautiful Mediterranean climate and the stunning coastline. Someone who loves being outdoors, wants easy access to nature, hiking, beaches, coastal walks, that sort of thing.
Okay.
They appreciate good air quality, are fascinated by a rich, unique culture and history. That Italian-Catalan blend. They're looking for a friendly, close-connect community feel, even with the summer buzz, and someone who actively wants or at least embraces a slower pace of life. Definitely, that's key. They need to be patient, willing to navigate the bureaucracy we mentioned, and absolutely willing to learn Italian. That seems non-negotiable for real integration. They also need to accept that some amenities or conveniences might be more limited, especially outside the summer season compared to a big city.
And okay with the transport situation.
Yes, accepting that public transport isn't the most reliable and understanding that having a car is probably necessary for real mobility. And crucially, given the economic indicators and job market assessment in the sources, this person is almost certainly not looking for local employment. They're likely retired or have independent income, remote work that isn't dependent on super fast internet.
And importantly, they are aware of and prepared for the reality of the healthcare quality issues highlighted in the sources, particularly concerning hospital care for serious conditions.
Yes, that's a really significant piece of the puzzle. They need to understand that the accessible but lower ranked quality of acute hospital care is a potential trade-off they're making for the other benefits Algero offers.
So conversely, who might struggle there? Based on these sources,
anyone who prioritizes guaranteed access to top-tier, highly efficient healthcare services, especially for complex or critical medical issues. Also, someone who absolutely needs very fast, completely stable internet, maybe for demanding remote work. And as we said, anyone needing to find a job locally would likely face significant hurdles. And
presumably someone unwilling to put in the effort with the language or who has very little patience for bureaucracy.
Exactly. Those individuals would likely find it quite frustrating. Also, people who rely heavily on extensive, punctual public transportation, or those who expect a constant year-round calendar, brimming with diverse cultural events and activities like you might find in a larger city.
Yeah.
They might find Algero a bit quiet or limiting, especially off-season.
So it really comes down to balancing that idyllic Mediterranean dream, the beauty, the charm, the pace, with the very practical realities outlined in these sources.
Yeah.
Seems to be the clear message. You gain this unique character, the stunning natural setting, the climate, the community feel, but you have to accept limitations in certain services, infrastructure, aspects like internet speed, the job market reality, and notably the assessed quality of local hospital care.
It requires open eyes and a willingness to adapt.
It's a place with immense charm and undeniable beauty, but it demands realistic expectations and an acceptance of its particular way of life, warts and all.
This has been a really thorough deep dive, pulling directly from those sources, Magic Towns Italy, the assessment notes, discovering Alghero. We've explored that unique Italian-Catalan mix, the incredible landscape, the culture, the community.
And we've also shown a pretty clear light on those practical realities and challenges, bureaucracy, the job situation, and those important quality concerns highlighted around healthcare.
It seems thriving here, as the sources imply, really does require that patience, that willingness to adapt.
Yeah, you really have to lean into the whole experience, not just the picture postcard parts.
Exactly. So as we wrap up, maybe here's a final thought for you to mull over. Perhaps embracing the unexpected, that unique blend of cultures you won't find anywhere else in Italy, the slower pace that demands patience, the need to adapt to certain practical limitations like the healthcare findings. Perhaps that's actually the key. We hope this exploration gives you a much clearer, more realistic picture of this unique corner of Italy.
Until the next one, thank you.
Thanks for listening to this Magic Towns Italy audio guide. If you found it helpful, don't forget, you've got access to dozens more guides, plus full town filters, insider data, and our AI assistant to help you explore further. See you in the next episode.